You're listening to the Simple Living Made Simple podcast. My name is Stephanie, and I am a wife, a mother of four, and the creator of the blog Winging It on the Homestead, where I help modern mothers incorporate simple living and self-sufficiency skills and knowledge into their busy lives. My goal is to help you refocus your life towards what really matters, your family, as well as boost your confidence so you can start being more self-reliant and decrease your dependence on stores and commercial products. Join me as I share with you my appreciation for creating a homemade and homegrown life through cooking, food preservation, cooking from scratch, and making your own products, all while keeping it practical, intentional, and realistic. Hey guys, welcome back to the Simple Living Made Simple podcast. Today's episode, I want to start off with a disclaimer because I am talking about some medical things that we're dealing with in my family and the diets that we're doing and how that's affecting our food and our meals and all that kind of thing. But I wanted to start off with a disclaimer that I'm not giving any kind of medical advice whatsoever. I'm just telling you about how our family is dealing with some things related to our diet. So that's what I'm going to be talking about today. I'll give you some more detail. It's kind of vague, but I'll give you some more detail as we go through. So again, I am not giving any kind of medical advice. I am not a medical professional. If you have any questions about your diet or how some of the things that I talk about would affect you, please talk to your doctor. Okay. So I'm talking about something that we are dealing with in our family right now, and it's kind of difficult. It's kind of something that I'm still working through. So I just thought I'd kind of talk about it a little bit because I think that a lot of people deal with this. So one of my children has eczema, like severe eczema, and has really since birth. And when I took him to pediatricians early on, they, you know, just handed me a cream or steroid cream and stuff and just said, use that. And I was never given any kind of guidance or explanation as to why he might have this eczema. So I started seeing another doctor recently, and she recommended that I get a bunch of blood work done and do allergy testing. We didn't actually go to an allergist. We actually had blood taken and sent in and done like a whole essay of foods to determine what it is that he has sensitivities to. Now, again, this is not my field of expertise. I don't know the lingo. I understand it on a very basic level enough that I can make decisions and stuff, but trying to explain to someone else, I'm not going to do that. So yeah, we were trying to figure out what he had sensitivities to. In the past, I thought maybe it was dairy. I thought maybe it was gluten. I thought it was this or that. And we kind of did some elimination things, and I could never really pinpoint what was making his eczema flare up. So we had this blood work done, and we waited a couple weeks for the results to come back, and it did. It looked at like so many different foods, meats, dairy, different kinds of nuts, different kinds of grains, fruits, vegetables, all kinds of stuff. And it gave us a level for each one of those things on what he is sensitive to. Basically something to do with the antibodies in your gut and all that stuff. So we found out that he was heavily sensitive to peanuts, and then moderately sensitive to gluten, dairy, eggs, cranberry, honey, oats, dairy being cow's milk specifically. And a couple other things. But those were the big ones because we eat pretty much whole foods in our house. So if you were to open our fridge, you'd see a bunch of food ingredients, but not a lot of food. And same thing if you open our pantries. So I do a lot of cooking from scratch. And I do a lot of, well, I wouldn't say I do a ton of baking, but I do baking a lot. I choose to. And this is something that I've also been doing more so in the last months leading up to this than I had in the past. But baking, muffins, starting to get into more of the bread making and all these things. And then also just making snacks and treats, desserts and those kinds of things out of honey and nuts and chocolate and oats and those kinds of things. So I was using a lot of whole foods that I was making. and cooking and baking, and that's what we would eat. So, and I think in one of my other episodes not that long ago, I talked about a working kitchen, and I was really utilizing that idea of constantly cooking or constantly making things so that I would have food. I mean, if you were to open some, you know, or my, even our pantry in the past, you'd open it up and there'd be a lot of snacks, a lot of prepackaged snacks, you know, things like that. So I have been decreasing the amount of prepackaged stuff that we've been buying, but also that means I also need to have stuff on hand. So I'm baking more, I'm making cookies instead of getting packaged cookies. So when we got this stuff back, I was like, wow, this is going to be really difficult. Luckily, my kids are pretty good eaters. Like, they're not really picky. They definitely have the things that they like, the things that they don't like, but they eat just about everything. And this is my second child that is having this specific issue. But it's difficult with real food, especially these things, because we have chickens, so we have eggs. Dairy isn't, like, we do a lot with dairy. You know, yogurts, cheeses, milk. I mean, cheese is a big staple for us in our snacks and in our meals, as well as yogurt. And then cranberry juice. I was giving them, the juice, cranberry juice. That's what the juice that they drank. So we have changed from that. No more cranberry juice. We do like lemonade. Like, I make homemade lemonade. So that's what we drink, or it's water. Honey, I buy honey in bulk and we use that as a sweetener. And oats were really, really big also. Oatmeal. We make what are they called? They're like energy balls, you know, with oats and peanut butter. I used to make those a lot. So those were things that were kind of, were obviously causing a lot of issue. So yeah, like I said, these were really big staples. And the baking thing is hard because we're trying to go gluten-free for the moment. Well, let me talk about what our plan is. So our plan is to do a really strict elimination diet of these things for the next 3 months. Peanuts specifically, though, for at least 6 months. But in 3 months, our plan is to do a elimination diet on these items, so not eat them, especially him. And I'll talk about that in a minute, how I'm managing this with him versus the other kids. So eliminate them for him. And then also work on our gut health. So that includes probiotics or fermented foods. And really work on healing the gut. Because that is what will help the eczema. Now again, I'm not a doctor. But my understanding is that eczema is basically a response to your body not being able to break down some foods, and it's very basic. But so instead of being respiratory for him or being necessarily stomach issues, he gets it in his skin, so it comes out as eczema. So we need to heal his gut, so make sure that he's got all the good probiotics in his gut in order to break down these foods. And that is what we're doing. So we're eliminating it to completely heal the eczema and then work back on his gut health. And that's the idea. Again, not a doctor, but that's the basic understanding. So right now, like I said, I'm blessed that he's a very good eater and he's adventurous too. So as I'm introducing foods that we may not eat on a regular basis, he's all for it. And dinners, I've been keeping them really simple. So meat, vegetables, and a starch. So that might be steaks and a vegetable, broccoli, green beans, or whatever. We've really been corn. Sweet corn is in season right now, so we've been eating a lot of corn. And a starch. So potatoes, french fries are fine as long as I'm cooking them in the right kind of oil. Speaking of oil, I'm leaning a little bit heavier on seed oil, canola oil or soybean oil for shallow frying, or using in the place of where I may use butter. So I have like a soybean spread that I'm using. I'm not crazy about it. I'm trying to, before this came on, I was working towards eliminating seed oils. And now it's like I'm kind of leaning on them a little bit more. But right now I'm actually looking more into using tallow. Now tallow is rendered beef fat, and I currently use tallow in a lot of my moisturizer. That's a discussion for another day. But my moisturizer that I use, so instead of having lotions or something like that, I use tallow. So I use rendered suet, which is rendered beef fat. This is going to sound gross for those of you that don't use this. And I use it with coconut oil. And I've made a moisturizer that I use, and I use it daily, and I love it more than any kind of fancy face lotion, and it works really well. Anyways, I use that, and so I've also spent a couple minutes. I've also spent some time this morning calling a couple local farms and butchers in the area to get a price on tallow, because my thinking is that I'm not liking the leaning on the seed oils as much as I'm doing. So I'm going to try to incorporate tallow in my cooking more. So I was getting a price on that. And a couple of the places that I was looking at sell suet, which is unrendered beef fat. So basically it's just beef fat that's cut off the bone or the meat. And then you're responsible for rendering it down, which is cooking it down to get rid of, you know, any kind of like pieces of meat or any kind of extra stuff. And then you're done. And then you're going to filter it. And, you know, it's basically like a clarified fat. And then you can use it in cooking, frying, face moisturizers, those kinds of things. So that's what I'm looking in right now, so that I can like kind of pull back on my soybean canola oil that I've been really leaning on. Dairy, like as I said before, dairy is difficult because previously it was really something that we leaned on a lot. We ate a lot of, you know, chocolate milk was a pretty big staple. We use that, you know, just as a snack, as a dessert. Sometimes we'd have it with dinner, and cow's milk, cheese, and all those things we can't have right now. So what I've done is I look to goat milk and goat cheese. Luckily, my son loves goat cheese. So we've been having that in substitution with for the cow's milk. Although you do have to be careful. Feta cheese in the United States, you have to look. A lot of it's still made with cow's milk, believe it or not. And I did make that mistake, was that I assumed feta cheese was always goat, you know, made with goat's milk. But that's not the case. So if you're trying to eliminate cow's milk and substitute with goat milk, you have to check that. I also looked into goat milk for as a replacement to cow's milk to drink, because a lot of the recipes that I cook with require milk. And I didn't want to use cow's milk, so I was like, well, maybe I'll use goat milk. Well, goat milk is very, very expensive, at least in our area. We're talking about $7 a half gallon is what one farm quoted me as. I'm not saying that's not price, you know, appropriate, but for us, it's very expensive. So then that got me in the whole rabbit hole of looking into getting our own goat, which I am very heavily looking into, because not only for milk, but also for weed control, cut down on my husband's amount of mowing that he needs to do. That would be wonderful. The thing that's holding me up on that is fencing struggles. So I'm going to be looking into seeing how the best way to manage having a goat on our specific property would be, because fencing may be an issue. What else? So yeah, eggs. We have chickens, so we're having a lot of eggs. So a lot of people close to us have been enjoying our eggs at the moment, because I have not been using them very heavily, really at all. My son that eats them loved eggs. And so sometimes what I've been doing is making a scrambled egg or two in the morning for my younger girls. But for the boys, they usually have other things. And I really am grateful that I can lean heavily on fruits and vegetables and meats during this time, that nothing really needs to be eliminated as far as that goes. The peanuts are an issue. We did a lot of peanuts. It was a big protein in our family, a lot of peanut butter. So we're eliminating that, and instead of going to almond butter or using almond milk if need be, but almond butter for sure. And then a lot of, when it comes to gluten, One of the big things that you'll find that is a good substitute is corn or rice. So we've been doing a lot of cereals that are not wheat based, but are more our rice, like rice chex or corn chex, making sure that they don't have any wheat. And then having that with some almond milk, that's been some of the breakfasts that he have along with fruit. So it's definitely doable. It's just, it's tricky. And I must say that I'm very grateful and blessed. We are all blessed that my son is as adventurous and accepting of this as he is. Now, he still has his struggles and he still has his feelings of this isn't being fair. And I try to give him a win or two here or there. But if I find that if I have a sufficient enough option for him, then he's usually okay with it. Because I have this line of I don't want to us all to be eating something wonderful in front of him and saying, sorry, you need to eat this. But then again, you know, kids need to understand that they're not going to be able to eat everything in every situation that other kids can eat. So it's a line that I'm trying to balance. So I find that if I have a sufficient enough option for him, he's usually okay with it. And again, we're all as a family trying not to do anything too crazy get things unnecessarily. Like, I'm not going to offer everyone ice cream but him. But it was one of my other kids' birthdays, and so we did have cupcakes, and he had his own treat that he could have, which almost for him is satisfying enough that he gets something special. So that's been working out as well. I would love to hear about other people's experience with this, because I was surprised. I mean, like, going gluten-free is difficult enough, but adding all these other things is hard. So even if I'm looking for gluten-free recipes, they sometimes have eggs in it, or a big substitute for that is also oats. So it's a little bit difficult. I am grateful that he can have almonds and other nuts, just not peanuts at the moment. And as far as gluten goes, we are cutting that out for, like I said, the 3 months. And then when we get back to it, I'm going to start doing sourdough everything. So I'm not 100% sure if this is true. I've heard it more than once and from more than one source. But that sourdough, the process of fermenting your sourdough, it helps break down the gluten. So you're not, it's a much better option for gluten intolerant people. So when we get back to this, I am going to have a big focus on sourdough, which is something that I've been trying to do and trying to get a handle of for months now. So this will be a good push to really take that more seriously. So I hope that this was at all helpful. I mean, just kind of an insight into what we're doing. I think that it's sometimes hard when we're trying to eat real food, but when then you're not allowed to have a lot of those ingredients, it makes it more difficult than if, you know, you're going to then rely on more processed foods, which is not the route we wanted to take. So I would love to hear, reach out to me if you have any experience with this, or if you have any tips that may help. I would greatly appreciate it. So I hope this episode was helpful, and I will see you in the next episode. Thank you for joining me for this episode. To help others find and enjoy this podcast, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave me a comment and 5-star review. You can also find me over on the blog at Winging It on the Homestead or on Facebook and Instagram. You can also grab the Ultimate Vegetable Guidebook over at www.savemyveggies.com.